All right, get ready to unlock some ancient wisdom because today we're going deep on the Kybalion,
Ooh, the Kybalion.
a text that claims to hold the keys to understanding the universe.
That's a big claim.
No kidding, right? We're talking ancient Hermetic philosophy.
The kind of stuff that inspired alchemists and mystics.
For centuries.
Absolutely. And what makes the Kybalion even more intriguing
Yeah.
is that it's a bit of a mystery itself.
Oh, how so?
Well, it was published in the early 1900s,
Okay.
and it claims to be based on the teachings of Hermes Trismegistus.
Hermes Trismegistus. Now, that's a name that sounds like it's straight out of a myth.
He is kind of a figure shrouded in myth and legend.
So we're dealing with
It's like a whisper from the past.
a whisper from the past promising to reveal the secrets of the universe.
It does kind of have that air of mystery.
It does. So we're dealing with a text that's almost like
A secret decoder ring for the universe,
a decoder ring. I like that.
passed down from this almost mythical figure.
Exactly. So for our listeners today,
Your goal is to grasp the core ideas of this ancient wisdom.
sounds like a plan.
The Kybalion outlines seven principles of Hermeticism.
Seven. Okay.
And we're going to unpack each one.
All right, let's do it.
Are you ready to see if they hold up under scrutiny?
I am ready. Let's dive in.
And if they offer any practical value in our modern world?
Let's see what they've got. So, principle number one,
Mentalism.
mentalism. So the Kybalion states, the all is mind, the universe is mental. That's
Whoa.
a big one right out of the gate.
It is.
Basically, it's saying that reality as we perceive it is a mental creation.
That's the core of it. Everything we experience,
Okay.
from the material world to our thoughts and emotions,
Okay.
all stems from a universal mind, what they call the all.
The all. It's a concept that has echoed throughout history from, ancient philosophies to modern day explorations of consciousness.
It has.
It kind of makes me think about some of the theories in quantum physics, like, the observer effect, the idea that the act of observing something actually influences its reality. Is that kind of what they were getting at even back then?
It's fascinating, isn't it, how ancient wisdom seems to intersect with modern scientific discoveries.
It is.
The Kybalion acknowledges that the universe is this incredible paradox,
Okay.
a mental creation, yet something we experience as incredibly real.
Yeah, how do we reconcile that?
Think of a dream.
Okay.
While you're in it, the dream feels real.
Sure.
But when you wake up, you realize
Right.
it was a projection of your
It
mind.
was all in your head.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's all mental creation, but how much control do we actually have over it?
That brings us to a key concept in Hermeticism,
Okay.
mental transmutation.
Mental transmutation.
The Kybalion suggests that by mastering our minds,
Yeah.
we can not only change our mental states, but potentially even influence our material reality.
Okay, hold on. So we're not talking about like magically manifesting a winning lottery ticket just by thinking about it, are we?
Well, maybe not quite that simple.
Okay.
The idea is that our thoughts are incredibly powerful, more powerful than we often realize.
I can see that.
By controlling our thoughts, we can change our emotions, our behaviors, and ultimately the circumstances we attract into our lives.
So instead of dwelling on, fear or scarcity, we can choose to cultivate thoughts of courage and abundance.
Precisely, it's about shifting our mental vibrations,
Okay.
aligning them with what we want to experience.
Aligning them. Okay.
To illustrate the vibration of spirit or the universal mind,
Yeah.
the Kybalion actually uses the analogy of a wheel spinning so rapidly that it appears motionless.
Oh, wow. That's a really cool analogy. It
Yeah.
makes this abstract concept of vibration a bit easier to grasp.
It does.
So if we're all vibrating at different frequencies, our thoughts and emotions influence those vibrations.
Yes, and that leads us directly to the next principle,
Okay.
correspondence.
Correspondence, I've heard the saying, as above, so below, but I
Yes.
have to admit, I never really understood what it meant.
It suggests that there's a profound harmony and connection between all levels of existence, the microcosm and the macrocosm.
The microcosm and the macrocosm?
The same laws and principles that govern the universe
Okay.
also govern our individual lives.
Interesting.
So studying the small can offer insights into the large.
Okay.
Understanding the laws that govern our own minds can help us understand the forces at play in the universe.
I like that perspective. It's starting to all come together.
Yeah.
So, mentalism, the
Yeah.
universe is mental, correspondence. There's this mirror between the big and the small, and that brings us to principle number three,
Vibration.
vibration, right?
Exactly. The Kybalion states that nothing rests Everything moves, everything vibrates. And this is where ancient wisdom aligns with modern science in a truly fascinating way.
Because science has shown that everything is made up of atoms, and atoms are constantly in motion.
Exactly. Everything in the universe, from the smallest particle to the largest star, is vibrating at a particular frequency. And the form that energy takes, whether it's solid matter, liquid, gas, or even thoughts and emotions, is determined by its rate of vibration.
So based on this principle, our thoughts and emotions are also forms of energy vibrating at different frequencies.
Precisely. And the Kybalion suggests that by understanding this principle, we can learn to control our mental vibrations just as a musician learns to control the vibrations of a musical instrument.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
So if we want to change our reality, we need to change our vibration. And we can do that by changing our thoughts and emotions.
Right.
But does that mean we can control things on a grand scale? Like, some interpretations of the Kybalion suggest that the ancient Hermetic masters used this principle to achieve incredible feats, like controlling the elements or influencing the course of events.
Right.
That's where I get a little lost.
That's where we get into the territory of mental alchemy.
Mental alchemy.
Which the Kybalion touches on but doesn't fully delve into.
Okay.
The idea of controlling elements might be more symbolic.
Okay.
Pointing to a deeper level of mental mastery.
Okay.
But even if we can't conjure thunderstorms with our minds,
sure,
there's growing evidence that our thoughts and emotions have a profound impact on our physical health, our relationships, and even our success in the world.
Okay, so while we might not be bending the elements to our will, we can still use these principles to cultivate a more positive and fulfilling life.
That's what the Kybalion seems to be suggesting.
That's encouraging.
And it brings us to the fourth principle, one that I find particularly insightful.
All right, let's hear it.
Polarity.
Polarity. What's the deal with polarity?
This principle states that everything is dual, everything has poles, everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree.
Wow. Okay, that's a mouthful.
It is, but the essence is that everything exists on a spectrum.
A spectrum? Okay, can you give me like a concrete example?
Think about heat and cold. They seem like opposites, but they're really just different degrees of the same thing. Temperature.
Okay.
Or light and darkness.
Right.
Varying degrees of light.
Okay, I see.
The same applies to emotions. Love and hate. Courage and fear. They're not completely separate entities, but different points on the same spectrum.
Interesting. So how can understanding this duality be useful in our lives?
The Kybalion suggests that understanding polarity can help us transmute negative emotions into positive ones.
Oh, okay.
For example, if you're feeling fear, you can consciously cultivate courage.
Okay.
Understanding they are not opposites, but simply different intensities on the spectrum of the same emotion.
So instead of trying to suppress negative emotions, we can use them as stepping stones to reach a more positive state.
Exactly.
It's almost like using that emotional energy to shift ourselves to a different point on the spectrum.
Exactly. It's not about denying the negative, but about understanding it's part of a larger whole, and we have the power to shift our focus.
I'm starting to see the potential here.
Yeah.
It's like having an inner control panel where we can adjust our emotional settings by understanding how these polarities work.
That's a great way to put it.
I like that.
And the more we practice this mental alchemy, the more we can become masters of our own emotional state.
Okay, I'm ready for principle number five. What's next on our journey through the Hermetic wisdom of the Kybalion?
The fifth principle is rhythm.
Rhythm.
It states that everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates.
So this one seems to be about the cyclical nature of, well, everything.
Yes.
It's like saying life is a series of pendulums swinging back and forth between opposing forces.
Exactly. We see it in nature all the time, day and night, the seasons, the tides.
Right.
And we experience it internally, too. Our energy levels, moods, successes, and setbacks.
Mm.
Everything has its natural rhythm.
I can definitely relate to that feeling of, like, riding the waves of life, sometimes feeling on top of the world, other times feeling pulled under.
And the Kybalion suggests that by understanding this principle of rhythm, we can learn to ride those waves more skillfully instead of being tossed around by them.
Okay.
It's about recognizing the patterns, the ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And working with those natural cycles instead of resisting them.
So instead of getting caught up in the highs and lows, we can try to maintain a sense of equilibrium, knowing that change is constant.
Exactly. The book suggests techniques like the law of neutralization,
Okay.
which involves rising above the negative swing of the pendulum by focusing on a higher plane of consciousness.
So it's like using our awareness to create a buffer zone, a space of mental stillness,
Right.
where we're less reactive to the ups and downs.
That's a great analogy. And remember, the law of compensation. The
Okay.
measure of the swing in one direction
Right.
determines the swing in the other.
Okay.
The higher the high, the lower the low, and vice versa.
Interesting.
Everything ultimately balances out.
Yeah.
By understanding this, we can appreciate both the peaks and the valleys, knowing they're both part of a larger rhythmic dance.
It makes those challenging times feel less like setbacks and more like a natural part of the process.
That's a very hermetic perspective. Now, are you ready to explore principle number six?
Hit me with it. What's next on our list?
Principle number six is cause and effect.
Cause and effect.
It states that every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law.
At first glance, that sounds pretty straightforward.
It does.
Every action has a consequence.
Right.
Everything happens for a reason.
But the Kybalion suggests there's more to it than that.
Okay.
It suggests there are different levels of causation.
Different levels.
The text claims that most people are caught just reacting to their environment,
Okay.
like pawns on a chessboard.
So they're not consciously choosing their actions, they're just reacting to external forces.
That's the idea. They're caught in the lower levels of cause and effect.
Got it.
But the Hermetic masters, those who have achieved a higher understanding, they use their knowledge of these laws to become masters of their own destiny. They become the cause, not just the effect.
So it's about understanding the rules of the game and then using those rules to consciously create the life you want.
Precisely. The Kybalion suggests that by mastering our minds, by understanding these deeper laws of cause and effect,
Yeah.
we can shift from being reactive to being proactive.
Proactor, I like that.
We can make choices with awareness of the consequences they will create.
It's almost like taking back control of the steering wheel instead of letting life just happen to us.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final and perhaps most intriguing principle.
Ooh, intriguing. Okay.
Gender.
Gender. Okay, this is the one that I've heard can be easily misinterpreted.
You're absolutely right. It's crucial to clarify that this principle is not about biological sex as we understand it today.
So then, what is it referring to? What's the hermetic concept of gender?
The Kybalion describes gender as a fundamental creative force,
Okay.
operating on all levels of existence from the spiritual to the material.
Okay.
It speaks of masculine and feminine principles as the two halves of creation.
Two halves. Okay.
The masculine principle is associated with energy, action, willpower,
Okay.
while the feminine principle is associated with receptivity, creation, and nurturing.
So, kind of like the yin and yang,
That's a great analogy.
the
Yeah.
two complementary forces that drive the universe.
And just like the yin and yang, these two principles need each other to create anything new.
So, how does this principle apply to us as individuals?
The Kybalion suggests that we all have both masculine and feminine principles within us,
Okay.
regardless of our biological sex.
Regardless, so it's not about like traditional gender roles, but
Exactly.
about something much deeper.
It's about recognizing and harmonizing those energies within ourselves
Okay.
to unlock our full creative potential.
So it's not about conforming to societal gender roles, but about finding that balance of those creative forces within each of us.
Exactly. The masculine energy helps us take action and manifest our goals,
Right.
while the feminine energy allows us to be receptive to new ideas, nurture our creativity, and connect with others in a meaningful way.
Wow, that's a really powerful concept.
It is.
It's like we're all like walking, talking embodiments of this cosmic dance between masculine and feminine energies.
I like that, a cosmic dance.
Okay, so we've covered all seven principles of Hermeticism as laid out in the Kybalion.
We have.
What would you say is like the key takeaway from all of this?
I think the biggest takeaway is that we're not just passive observers in the universe.
Right.
We are active participants, co-creators of our own reality.
Co-creators. I like that.
And the Kybalion provides these seven principles as tools to help us consciously shape our lives and our world in a more positive and fulfilling way.
That's a really empowering message, and it definitely gives me a lot to think about.
Okay.
But I have to admit, some of these ideas are pretty abstract.
They are.
How do we bridge the gap between these philosophical principles and our everyday lives?
That's a great question. And one we're going to explore in more depth in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh, all right. Looking forward to that.
Stay tuned.
We're back and ready to dive deeper into the Kabbalion.
Right.
We've laid out these seven principles.
Seven principles, right?
This whole idea that the all is mind. And I have to say, my mind is definitely feeling expanded.
Good, good.
But I'm still wrestling with how to connect these big cosmic ideas,
big ideas
to my everyday life.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
It's easy to get caught up in the intellectual fascination of the Kabbalion.
I can see that.
But the real power comes from experiencing these principles.
Okay.
Putting them into practice.
Putting them into practice. All right, how do we do that?
And the text itself emphasizes that this isn't just about intellectual understanding.
Yeah, right.
It's about recognizing what it calls the indwelling spirit.
Okay, I have to admit that phrase indwelling spirit kind of makes me think of incense and crystals.
I get that.
Can you break that down for me? Yeah. Make it a little less, you know, esoteric.
Think of it this way. If the universe is fundamentally mental,
okay,
as the Kabbalion suggests,
right,
then each of us carries a spark of that universal mind within us.
A spark.
It's a connection to the source.
To the source.
To the all.
Yeah.
And the more we become aware of that connection,
yeah,
the more we tap into our true potential, our ability to shape our reality.
So it's not about like rejecting the material world.
Right.
But about understanding its mental foundation.
Yeah, like recognizing that our thoughts and beliefs are the building blocks of our experience.
Exactly. So we're not just living in some kind of, you know, illusion.
Not exactly. And the Kabbalion warns against falling into half-wisdom.
Half-wisdom? What's that?
Which can manifest in a couple of ways.
Okay.
Some people get so focused on the idea that reality is a mental construction.
Yeah.
That they neglect the laws and principles that govern the universe.
So they're kind of like spacing out?
Yeah, kind of. And then others get so caught up in the material world,
uh-huh,
that they miss the deeper mental reality underpinning it all.
So they're missing the forest for the trees?
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, integrating both perspectives.
So we need to keep our head in the clouds, but our feet on the ground.
That's a great analogy.
I like that one.
And it brings us back to the concept of mental transmutation.
Mental transmutation, right. We touched on this earlier.
Yeah.
This is where the rubber meets the road, where we start to bridge the gap between theory and practice.
Bridging the gap. I like that.
So how do we actually de-do mental transmutation?
That's the question.
Is this where we get into the nitty-gritty of things like affirmations?
Affirmations.
And manifestation techniques and all that?
Those techniques are definitely connected to this principle.
Okay.
But the Kabbalion approaches mental transmutation from a slightly different angle.
Okay, what's their angle?
It's about recognizing the inherent power of our thoughts.
Okay.
Understanding they're not just fleeting things,
right,
but forces that shape our reality.
Because our thoughts create vibrations, and those vibrations influence our experiences.
Exactly. So the first step in mental transmutation is becoming aware of those thoughts.
Okay, so step one, awareness.
Awareness.
What kind of mental patterns are we running? Are they empowering and uplifting? Or are they rooted in, you know, fear, negativity, and self-doubt?
That's the first step.
So the first step is like self-awareness, mindfulness, pay attention to that inner voice.
Exactly.
But then what? How do we shift those patterns? How do we like change the channel?
That's where conscious choice comes in.
Conscious choice.
Okay. Yeah. The Kabbalion really emphasizes the importance of willpower.
Willpower.
Once you're aware of your thoughts, you have the power to choose which ones to focus on.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can cultivate thoughts that align with your goals, your aspirations, and your vision of the life you want to create.
So it's not about pretending everything is perfect or ignoring negative thoughts altogether.
Right.
But about actively choosing to focus on the positive, on what empowers us.
Exactly. And here's where things get really interesting.
Ooh, really interesting. Lay it on me.
The Kabbalion hints at a more advanced form of mental transmutation called mental alchemy.
Mental alchemy, that sounds intense. Is that like turning lead into gold, but with our minds?
The text uses alchemy metaphorically.
Oh, okay.
To illustrate the potential power of the mind.
Okay.
Just as alchemists sought to transform base metals into precious ones,
mm-hmm,
mental alchemy suggests we can transform our mental and physical reality,
wow,
through conscious mental mastery.
That's a pretty radical concept.
It is.
But does the Kabbalion offer any specific techniques for achieving this mental alchemy, or is it more of a theoretical idea?
It's less about specific techniques and more about pointing towards a potential.
Okay.
A path of self-mastery that goes beyond the ordinary.
Beyond the ordinary. I like that.
It's an invitation to explore the deeper possibilities of the mind.
So it's like a challenge to experiment, to explore the limits of our mental abilities.
Precisely.
Okay, I'm up for the challenge.
And whether we take the metaphor of alchemy literally or not,
All right.
it highlights the power of transformation that lies within each of us.
I love that idea.
So we've got mental transmutation,
Yeah.
we've got mental alchemy.
Are there any other like key concepts from the Kabbalion that can
Yeah.
help us, ground these principles in our daily lives?
One of the most important and often overlooked concepts is the divine paradox.
The divine paradox. Okay, what's that all about?
It's the understanding that while the universe is ultimately a mental creation,
Yeah.
we still need to engage with it
Right.
as though it were completely real and objective.
Because if we just walk around thinking it's all just a dream, we're bound to bump into some real life obstacles.
Exactly. The Kabbalion uses the analogy of a sleepwalker
Okay.
who eventually stumbles and falls because they're not paying attention to the world around them.
Right, so how do we avoid becoming those sleepwalkers?
Yeah, how do we walk that tightrope between understanding the mental nature of
All
reality
right.
while still effectively navigating the material world?
It's a good question. I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up. It's
Yeah.
like, okay, the universe is mental, but my bills are very real,
Yeah.
How do you bridge that gap?
It's about integrating these principles into our daily lives.
Okay.
We become aware of our thoughts.
Right.
We choose those that empower us. We understand the rhythmic nature of life.
Rhythmic nature, yep.
And we use the law of cause and effect to our advantage.
Cause and effect, right?
It's about aligning our inner world with the outer world,
Aligning, yeah.
not denying one in favor of the other.
Okay, so it sounds like it takes a lot of conscious effort, a willingness to practice these principles, and a commitment to self-awareness.
It does.
It's not just a passive process.
Absolutely. And the more we do this,
Yeah.
the more we align ourselves with that indwelling spirit,
Dwelling spirit.
that spark of the all that resides within each of us.
Within each of us.
And it's through that alignment
Yeah.
that we tap into our true power.
This is making me think about the principle of correspondence again.
Correspondence, yeah.
If everything is interconnected, if
Interconnected.
the all is in everything and everything is in the all, then maybe accessing that inner spirit is how we access the wisdom and power of the universe itself.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
It's like, tapping into this universal source of knowledge and creativity.
And it brings us full circle. What does all of this mean for you?
For me. Good question.
How has exploring these ideas shifted your perspective?
I have to say, diving into the Kabbalion has really shifted my worldview.
It has. In what way?
It's like a veil has been lifted, and I'm starting to see the world in a new light.
I'm glad to hear that.
What stands out to you the most from all of this?
What's resonating on a personal level?
I think the principle of polarity has really struck a chord with me.
Polarity.
It's given me a new way to approach, those challenging emotions that we all experience.
Yeah.
Instead of getting stuck in them,
Right.
I can see them as opportunities for growth, as points on a spectrum that I have the power to shift.
That's a fantastic insight.
Thank you.
And it's a perfect example of how these ancient Hermetic principles can be incredibly relevant and powerful in our modern lives.
They really can. And it's making me realize that the Kabbalion is more than just a book of abstract philosophy.
Right.
It's a guide to self-mastery, a roadmap to realizing our full potential.
You've hit the nail on the head, and it all starts with understanding that the all is mind.
The all is mind.
Our thoughts have power.
Power.
Our beliefs shape our reality.
They do.
And by mastering our minds, we can truly become the architects of our lives.
That's a powerful message to end on.
It is.
And speaking of powerful, I'm feeling energized to explore some more practical applications of these principles.
Well, you're in luck. In the final part of our deep dive,
Oh, the final part.
we'll be exploring some specific techniques and practices
Speak.
inspired by the Kabbalion that you can integrate into your own life.
Excellent.
Stay tuned.
All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the
The
Kabbalion.
final part, great.
This ancient text has given us a lot to ponder.
It has.
These seven Hermetic principles,
Seven principles.
the concept of the all is mind. But now let's get down to brass tacks.
Brass tacks, I like that.
How can we actually apply these principles in our everyday lives?
That's the key question, isn't it? Knowledge without application
Yeah.
is like a seed that never gets planted.
That's a good analogy.
It has potential, but it won't flourish unless we nurture it.
So what are some practical tools or techniques that we can like take away from the Kabbalion and actually, put into practice?
Well, one practice that aligns beautifully with the principle of mental transmutation is the use of affirmations.
Affirmations. Okay, I've heard about those, but to be honest, they've always seemed a bit too new agey for me.
I get that.
Does the Kybalion actually support this idea?
While it doesn't use that specific term,
Okay.
the core concept is there.
All right.
Remember, mental transmutation is about consciously directing our thoughts to shift our mental states.
Right. To change our vibration.
And affirmations are essentially a tool to do just that.
Okay.
Instead of letting our minds run wild with negative self-talk,
Yeah, we've all been there.
we can choose to feed it with positive, empowering statements.
So it's about taking control of the narrative, replacing those, limiting beliefs with more positive and constructive ones.
Precisely. And the Kybalion emphasizes the power of words.
Word.
It even says that the word is the wand of the magician.
Ooh, I like
By
that.
using affirmations,
Right.
we're essentially wielding that wand to shape our reality.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but how do we like ensure that those affirmations are actually effective?
Right.
I mean, isn't it just wishful thinking if we're just repeating positive phrases without truly believing them?
That's where the principle of vibration comes into play.
Vibration, okay.
Remember, everything is energy vibrating at a particular frequency.
Right.
The key to making affirmations work is to align our vibration with the desired outcome.
So it's not just about the words themselves, but about the energy and emotion behind them.
Exactly. The Kybalion says that feeling is the secret of mental transmutation.
Feeling.
So when you're using affirmations, don't just recite the words.
Yeah.
Embody the feeling of what you're affirming,
Yeah.
visualize it, feel it in your body, make it as real as possible in your mind.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like if you're affirming abundance, but you're simultaneously feeling, stressed and anxious about money, those conflicting vibrations are gonna cancel each other out.
Precisely. Align your energy with your words. And that's when the magic starts to happen.
Okay, I like that. Aligning energy with words.
It takes affirmations beyond rote repetition and makes it a more mindful, embodied practice.
Embodied practice. That's good.
And that embodiment is key.
Okay.
Another powerful technique that resonates with the Kybalion's principles is visualization.
Visualization. That one I'm a bit more familiar with.
Okay.
Athletes use it all the time to like mentally rehearse their performance, right?
Exactly. And the Kybalion suggests that visualization can be an incredibly powerful tool for mental transmutation.
Mental transmutation. Okay.
Remember, it all starts with the principle of mentalism. The all is mind. The universe is mental.
Right.
If our reality is fundamentally a mental creation,
Yeah.
then visualizing the desired outcome is like planting the seed for it to manifest.
So we're essentially creating like a mental blueprint, a template for the universe to follow.
That's a great way to put it. And the more detailed and vivid our visualization, the more potent the imprint it creates on the mental plane.
So it's not just about vaguely wishing for something,
Right.
but about like crafting a clear, detailed picture of what we desire
Yes.
and really feeling ourselves experiencing it as if it's already happening.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the power of feeling.
Feeling.
The more emotion we infuse into our visualizations, the stronger their vibratory power becomes.
So it's like amplifying the signal
Amplifying it.
we're sending out to the universe.
Yes.
This is reminding me of the principle of correspondence again.
Correspondent.
If the microcosm reflects the macrocosm,
Reflex.
then by creating that desired reality within our minds,
Yes.
we're essentially setting the stage for it to manifest in our external world.
I love how you're connecting the dots.
It's all starting to click into
It
place.
highlights the interconnectedness of these principles, how
Interconnectedness.
they all weave together to create a tapestry of wisdom.
A tapestry. I like that.
Okay, so we've explored affirmations, we've explored visualization.
Are there any other like practical takeaways from the Kybalion that
Yes.
we can, incorporate into our lives?
One principle that often gets overlooked in the realm of self-improvement is rhythm.
Rhythm, right. Everything has its ebb and flow.
Remember, everything in life has its natural ebb and flow.
Right. There are times of, high energy and productivity
Yes.
and times of rest and rejuvenation.
Exactly. It's like the waves of the
The
ocean.
waves, yeah.
Sometimes they're crashing dramatically on the shore,
Yeah.
and sometimes they're gently lapping at the sand.
Gently lapping, right?
And the Kybalion suggests that we can work in harmony with these natural rhythms
Okay.
instead of resisting them
Resisting them, yeah.
when we're in a high energy phase.
Right.
We can ride that wave, make the most of our momentum.
Ride the wave, okay.
But when we're feeling depleted, we need to honor that need for rest and allow ourselves to recharge.
To recharge.
Pushing against those natural rhythms only creates resistance and burnout.
Resistance and burnout. Nobody wants that.
So it's about tuning in to our bodies.
Tuning in.
Becoming aware of our natural energy cycles and not forcing ourselves beyond our limits.
Working smarter, not harder.
Precisely. And this principle can also be applied to our mental and emotional states.
Our mental and emotional states, okay?
We all have times when we're feeling optimistic and motivated.
Right.
And times when we're feeling down, discouraged, or uninspired.
We've all been there.
And instead of beating ourselves up for those low points.
Yeah, we tend to do that.
We can accept them as part of the natural rhythm of life, knowing they won't last forever.
They won't last forever? That's important to remember.
Remember the principle of polarity.
Polarity.
Those low points often contain the seeds of transformation.
Seeds of transformation. Hmm.
It's an opportunity to ask ourselves, what can I learn from this experience? How can I use this as fuel to grow stronger, more resilient, and more aligned with my purpose?
That's a really good point. It's like shifting our perspective from, you know, feeling like a victim of circumstance to becoming an alchemist of our own experience.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And that's the essence of the Kabbalion.
The essence.
It's a guidebook to becoming conscious co-creators of our reality.
We're conscious co-creators.
It all begins with that fundamental understanding that the all is mind.
The all is mind, right?
Our thoughts have power.
They do.
Our beliefs shape our reality.
Our beliefs.
And by mastering our minds, we can unlock our true potential, not just to create a better life for ourselves, but to contribute to a better world for all.
That is a powerful and inspiring message to end on.
It is.
It feels like we've only just scratched the surface of this ancient wisdom.
We have, and that's the beauty of the Kabbalion.
Yeah.
It's a text that can be revisited again and again each time, revealing new layers of insight.
New layers, wow.
And as you continue to explore these ideas, remember to be patient with yourself.
Patient, right.
Mastery is a journey, not a destination. Oh.
That's true.
It takes time, practice, and a willingness to experiment.
But I have a feeling the rewards are well worth the effort.
Without a doubt, the Kabbalion offers a path of self-discovery.
Self-discovery, yeah.
A journey to unlock the wisdom and power that lie dormant within each of us.
That's powerful.
And that journey, if we choose to embark on it, can lead us to a more fulfilling, meaningful, and empowered life.
More fulfilling, meaningful, and empowered. I like that.
I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive into the Kabbalion.
It is. And to all of you listening out there, we encourage you to, you know, keep exploring these ideas.
Keep exploring.
Keep questioning, keep experimenting, and most importantly, keep believing in your own limitless potential.
Your own limitless potential.
Until next time, keep diving deep.